at all, Rooch. Yes. Let's get to something that's really big, and it's happening tonight at 7:35. You'll be able to see it on Channel 10. The Matildas take on the USA. It wasn't real good a couple of days ago. They got done 3-0. Joining us now is former Matilda Gracie Gill. She's part of the Channel 10 commentary team. She's going to tell us if we can turn it around or not. Hello, Grace.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Yeah, not bad. Firstly, a couple of nights ago, was it a poor performance?
Look, I think it came down to a couple of things. I think it came down to not being as clinical as the girls needed to in that final third of the field, but also the US Women's National Team goalkeeper had a fantastic game.
Talking of goalkeepers, we've got a little bit of a dilemma, haven't we, coming up to the Asian Cup?
Well, we've got options.
We've got options, three of them. Who should be the goalkeeper for Australia?
That's the thing, it's a good dilemma to have. And when you've got the likes of an experienced campaigner in Lydia Williams, and then you've got a young and upcoming Tegan Micah, and the assurance of someone like Mackenzie Arnold in the mix, it is a really hard question to answer. But it's I'm glad I'm not sitting in the seat having to make that decision.
Yes, but Gracie, now that you're in the commentary world, you do have to give an opinion. if you would have
That's fair. I think Tegan Micah is in really good form at the moment. She's had some solid performances. So if that was sort of a decision in my hand, I'd reward what has been some really great performances from a young goalkeeper. And knowing that you've got the likes of Lydia Williams to come in if she needs to off the bench or whatever that may be, is a really good position to be in.
Grace, we're all measuring where the Matildas are leading up to an Asian Cup, and then there's the World Cup to deal with at home. Where do you think the program's at, bearing in mind it's not just the issues of finding the lineup, but there have been some issues that could be distracting off the pitch as well?
Yeah, look, most certainly. It's been a bit of a journey for Tony Gustafsson coming in and taking the side. In terms of the performance on field and where they're at, I think the Asian Cup just around the corner in January is a really great opportunity for this side, because being a hosting nation of the Women's 2023 World Cup, the girls technically don't have to win the tournament. So there's a bit of pressure off in that regard. So there's still some flexibility to play around and to experiment with things. But that said, you want to be getting results. You want to be getting performances so that come the other side of that tournament, you know exactly your playing style, you know exactly who's working into your squad for 2023. And off-field in that regard, the girls are professionals and they just do their best to shut out the noise and focus on the football.
There's been a lot of criticism about the defensive play of the Australian girls. The coach put it on himself. I quote, "I'm not blaming any players and I take all the responsibility for our defending. We've tried different formations, but we've also done some different types of defending." Where do you think that they can improve? Or is he doing the right thing by experimenting so much?
Look, I think there had to be a point of experimentation, both as a new coach coming in and as some new young players coming in. They had to, you know, he had to have a look at them. It's probably at a point now where, as the fans, as community, as a footballing nation, you want to be able to look at the team going forward and really understand, all right, who's our defensive lineup? How are they going to play? Who's going to lead the charge there? And in my mind, there's probably still a few question marks over that. So tonight might shed a bit more light on that, but also the Asian Cup in January should solidify some of those decisions, I think.
So, Grace, how many of the 11 do you think you could lock in for the long term?
That's a really good question. Oh, I think of the squad that's there at the moment, I think they all are genuinely in contention for the Women's 2023 World Cup. I don't think anyone's there on a free ticket or a free ride. Mm. I think there's sort of some known entities, some big household names in the way of your Sam Kerr, and that, you know, they know their place in the squad. And then there's some of those younger girls coming through, and they're working really hard and pushing, and in the minutes they are getting, they're trying to get these performances in so that you basically give the staff and the coaching staff an excuse, like no excuse not to take you and not to pick you. So there's just some around the periphery who are going to be working really, really hard to do that. And there's some girls who obviously know their place and have been in the squad for some time.
Hey, Grace, overnight, Sam Kerr finished third in the Women's Ballon d'Or, her highest ever finish. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I mean, the work that Sam Kerr is doing for the Matildas, for the Australian football community is just incredible. And to sort of come through at third, like, that's an amazing achievement to be considered in the top five footballers in the world. You know, Alexia Putellas, she is a fantastic footballer, and in my mind, that's a really well-deserved first-place finish. But Sammy Kerr, she's knocking on the door, and she's really just a couple of paces behind there.
Grace, just to get a world picture here, we've had COVID disrupt everything, the issues in the US about equal pay with the men's program, the change of the landscape all around the world. Where do you rank the US at the moment?
The US is a women's football nation. Long been a powerhouse since their 1999 World Cup. That really was their watershed moment for their group. And they produce really great young players just through their population, through their college system. They're world champs at the moment. They're always going to be a tough side to beat. And even so, they themselves are going through somewhat of a regeneration. They're bringing in a lot of young players. Yeah. They've had, you know, Carly Lloyd recently retire as a great of the US women's national team, but they're always going to be so competitive and so fiercely competitive for spots on the side that's really hard to break into.
Hey, Grace, last Saturday's friendly was played in front of 36,000 fans, 36,109. Yeah, how big a smile does that bring to your face to see so many people coming out supporting the world game and women's soccer?
Oh, I'm smiling when you just said that. It was honestly such an amazing atmosphere, and to have 36,000 people turn out in what was a fairly dreary Sydney afternoon. Like, the weather wasn't great. There was a bit of rain around. So to have that record-breaking crowd still turn out, it's incredible. I can't begin to tell you how important that is for women's football, for the World Cup in 2023. And it wasn't just sort of adults, it was kids, it was young boys, young girls. It's just an incredible, incredible experience.
Were you envious? What's the biggest crowd you played in front of?
It definitely wasn't 36,000, I can tell you that much.
Hey, what about the transition into the media, and what's it like working with the voice of the world game here in Australia, Simon Hill? He's a regular on our program.
Simon Hill is fantastic. It's really, really great to be working alongside people like Simon and the whole Ten team that's putting this broadcast into play, and I'm really pleased to be a part of it.
Grace, is the timing of the World Cup just so ideal for Australia, particularly at a time when we're seeing women being attracted to other sports as well?
Oh, it is. I think to get a World Cup of home soil is perfect. And the traction there is just unbelievable. To have the sort of grassroots numbers coming up through Australia around football, it's perfect. You're right. And there is such fierce competition for other sports like AFL and women being drawn to some other really great programs as well. So to have a World Cup on home soil in 18 months' time, we're really lucky.
Okay, so I'll put you in a hot seat here. So you get a World Cup at home. You've got the Matildas with an impressive marketability, particularly around Sam Kerr. What do you do at the domestic level?
So the A-League Women's and the A-League Men's have taken a bit of almost like a developmental league stance now, in that so many of the Matildas girls are going overseas to Europe. That domestic league is so important, because what we've seen happen in that space over the last couple of years is where the teams haven't been completely full with new names. We've seen these young players come up into the fold, and a really good example of someone like that is Akara Kounikos, who maybe in years gone by was struggling to get an A-League women's position in Melbourne. But now, having some of those spots vacated, she's stepped into that role, she's stood out, and she's earned herself a call up into the Matildas, the women's national team. So it actually provides opportunity for some of these younger girls who otherwise would be really struggling to get themselves shown on a national team stage.
So what do we do to get that domestic W League to have big games at big venues rather than seeing some of the matches played out at suburbia?
Yeah, look, I think there's an important part in some of that grassroots element of it. So at the moment, until we do get a point where we are getting, thousands and tens of thousands of people, then having 2,000 people in a really large stadium does not bode well to the atmosphere and the environment. Yep. So if you do have some of these slightly smaller stadiums that still can fit a few thousand, and you come close to filling that out, it does a really great, it demonstrates a really good product for the show, and it's really impressive for the A-League Women's and A-League Men's competition.
So it's step by step then.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, we look forward to your coverage tonight, 7:35 Adelaide time at McDonald James Stadium, Australia taking on USA. Hey, Grace, we're trying to guess exactly where you are and what you're doing at the moment. You sound like you're being attacked by a forklift. Are you actually going into the stadium or what? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm at the stadium at the moment at McDonald Jones Stadium, and the rain's just starting to come through, but plenty of work to do before kickoff.
Good luck.
I really appreciate your time, but obviously we need a selection.
Selection as in a result?
Yeah, result tonight.
Okay, I think the Matildas are going to pull it back. I think it's going to be a much tighter game than what was on Saturday evening. And I think we're going to find a Let's say a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw.
It'll be entertaining.
Hey, we love it. Really appreciate your time, Grace. There she is, Grace Gill.
No worries, guys.
Former Matilda. You will hear, our pleasure, you'll hear on Channel 10 tonight at 7:35.